have shared, we have many children that would be dedicated today. So I'm going to ask that all of you that are dedicating your kids, will you please join me on the stage, if you would? Let's welcome all of our kids and families to the sanctuary. Come on up, guys. What we'll do, because the pulpit's so big, we'll kind of be on each side so everybody can see you. Wonderful. Aren't they a beautiful group of kids? Aren't they a beautiful group of dads? I mean, moms. Aren't they beautiful? This is Mother's Day. All right. What I will do, guys, is I will start over here and we'll introduce. Yes, fill on in. Come on in. Slide over just a little bit, Brother Ryan. We want everybody to be able to see you guys. Tell you what we will do. I'll start with Miss Erin. Can we slide over a little bit more? This is great. This is wonderful. So, Erin, what I'm going to do with you, hon, is I'm going to have you tell us his name, and I'm going to tell you, ask you to, how big was he when he was born?
His name is Wesley Allen Webb, and he was 6 pounds and 1 ounce when he was born.
He's a beautiful baby, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jer, you're next. This is Jeremy, he weighs 100 and...
Okay. Got to get the story straight.
That's right, buddy.
Hello, this is Peyton James Bellinger, and he was 6 pounds, 13 ounces, and he's not that small anymore.
No. This is Jeremy and Stacy Bellinger. All right, it's Brother Steven. Who are you dedicating this morning?
This is James and Taylor Turner, and it was too long ago to remember how small they were.
So I guarantee she knows.
He was 7, 12.
Hang on a second. Wait a second. Hey, Steph, how big were your kids when you gave birth to them?
I think 7'12", and she was 8'15".
All right. That's wonderful. All right, Miss Jen. And Joe?
This is Levi Patrick, and he was 8 pounds, 3 ounces when he was born.
I'm blocking people. I'm sorry. All right. Go ahead, Brother Glenn. Let me get over here now.
This is Gabriella Jade, and she was 7 pounds, 1 ounce.
All right, Brother Ryan.
This is Mike Abuja, and he was 9 pounds, 15 ounces.
And this is Ryan.
And he was 2 weeks early.
Ryan and Gina Abuja. All right, Brother Andrew and Rebecca Long.
This is Emma Joy, and she was 7 pounds, 11 ounces. Slurpee baby.
What? Oh, 7-Eleven Slurpee baby. I was a little slow on the draw there. All right, Richard. This is Richard and Courtney Prezzano.
This is Elijah James Prezzato, and he was 7 pounds, 13 ounces. 2 weeks early.
The mom, though, down to the ounce, because every ounce. This is Stephanie Johnson.
All right. This is Leo Walter. He was 6'7". And this is Sabrina Leanne. She was 6'1".
6'1". Wonderful. All right. We are, they are getting restless, so we will pray and we will dedicate these kids to the Lord. And I appreciate these families and what they are doing. They are making a visual commitment to the Lord today, and that we are going to pray for them. They're praying, and they're going to make a conscious choice, being very intentional in their life to raise their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. And it's a biblical principle, not only in the story of Hannah, Isaiah even mentions it in his writings in the Old Testament there, to instruct our children in the Word of God, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for these moms and dads that have come this morning to dedicate their children to you. Father, we are blessed as a church to have such a wonderful group of families in our church, Lord. We thank you for the moms that have given birth this year. We thank you for the ones that are dedicating their kids as well, Lord, that even though they may be a little older, Lord, they see the importance of raising their kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we love you. We pray as a pastor, also as a congregation, that we will be very intentional in helping these families to do what they need to do and give them the resources that they need, Father. We love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You guys can go ahead and go on down. Yeah, absolutely. All right. All the junior church kids, 6th grade and under, you are dismissed as well. I wish you could see what I see. I saw the kids, they're going this way, they're going that way. One worker ran that way. It's a mass exodus. And I see some older than sixth graders leaving. Chuck Grabowski, you can't leave. You can't go to junior church, Chuck. All right. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I promise I will not keep you long today. This is a day for moms. It's the Lord's Day, yes, but it's also a day where we honor our mothers. We thank God for our mothers. Let me say thank you to all the moms. Let me also say thank you to the ones that perhaps they were not your biological children, but you, as an act of grace and as an act of truly care and concern for the welfare of that child, you chose to take them in. I commend you. I commend you dearly. And thank you for giving those kids a safe place to land. Many of you are even considering perhaps adoption. I've said it often, and I actually was looking back over some of the sermons that I preached on Mother's Day, and we have, over the last several years, last 4 years or so, we've preached about Hannah twice out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. We've preached on Proverbs 31. We also preached last year on the famous mother in the Bible named Jochebed, who was a tremendous character in Scripture of sacrifice and love and unconditional love there, she was Moses' mother. So we've talked much about, over the last several years, about different characters in Scripture. But what I want to do this morning, I find it, this is a tremendous thing. Second Thessalonians, you say, preacher, what in the world, how in the world are you going to pull a Mother's Day sermon out of this passage? Paul wrote it. Paul wasn't a mom. How are you going to pull that out of there? Well, here's what I find interesting to me. What's interesting to me is the Apostle Paul is going to give us the, really in essence, what it means to be a leader. Now you said, what do you mean? And here's what he's going to do. This is tremendous. What he's going to do is he's going to illustrate what it means to be an effective leader. And in doing so, he's going to use the illustration of a mother of what it means to be a good leader. That's tremendous. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. He's going to allow us to kind of look at a mom, kind of look at her heart, and kind of see what kind of individual that she is. Now, of course, contextually, verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul says to this local church, he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, a local assembly, a local church, and he's writing this letter to them. And he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor of a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And now notice his transition. He's really going to drive it home. He's going to drive home the value of what they did as far as Paul and how they treated the local church. He says, this is what we did. We didn't use our office to milk money out of you. We didn't use our position we didn't seek glory in that. Boy, that's a tremendous lesson of a leader. That's a tremendous lesson of leadership. Leadership, biblical leadership is servant leadership. Can I get a witness in this room? Biblical leadership is servant leadership. If you are in a position of leadership, whether that be in the business world, whether that be in a church world or church kind of setting, understand the greatest leadership you can do is be a servant leader. He says in verse 7, now notice this. Look what Paul says. You want to see what kind of leader we were? You want to see what kind of person we were, pastor that we were? Look what he says. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, We were willing. Now, notice now he's talking, he's using a mom, right? He's using the metaphor, if you will, of a mother. And notice how she is. He says, so being affectionately, verse 8, desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. Moms, you remember labor and travail, don't you? Dads, we remember it because we got screamed at the whole time. You've done this to me. Night and day, for laboring night and day. Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Father, we love you. We ask your blessings on the reading of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for moms. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy we have of honoring them today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have of preaching your word this morning. And we ask, Lord God, that you will bless and you'll encourage the hearts of the moms in this room. We pray that you'll encourage the hearts of all ladies in this room, Lord. And we ask this all in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As mothers are absolutely and indisputably essential to the well-being of children, so spiritual leaders who minister with a mother's gentleness, intimate affection, sacrificial love, and unselfish labor are essential to the health of the church. Now, Paul, that's what Paul does here. It's just amazing to me. And to be quite honest, I don't know that I've ever really dug into this and seen it from that perspective. So Paul is going to give them, Paul is telling the church of Thessalonica, you know, he's already said, listen, we didn't do it for glory. We didn't do it for, you know, selfish ambition. We didn't come to you and minister to you, church of Thessalonica, to be seen and to get the glory. No, we did it. And then he thinks about it. I think he processes it. I think the Holy Spirit of God kind of, you know, pauses the narrative just for a moment. And he begins to really meditate on, how can I get my point across? How can I really show these Thessalonians? How can I really let them in and know my heart as far as what my heart is as a leader? So Paul says, here's how I can do it. I'm going to talk about mom. I'm going to talk about what it means to be a mom. And I'm going to illustrate what I desire as a leader, Paul says, I believe. I'm going to illustrate what I desire as a leader to be an effective leader. You know, it's amazing to me. I know I cut that sentence off, but you know what is amazing to me? Paul didn't use Moses. He didn't use David. He didn't use some of the great, you know, great judges of the Old Testament. He didn't use men like Gideon. He didn't use, other great apostles. He didn't use any of that. He chose to use mom. He chose to take the mother and use her to really drive home the point of his heart and his passion of being a leader. You know, I'd never really considered it. I'd never really kind of really dug in and looked at this from the perspective of how a mom is. So if you look at it in the backdrop and you think of me just for a moment in the backdrop over these next few minutes, if you think of me just for a moment in the backdrop of leadership, pastoral leadership, how do you become effective leader? Paul says, I'm going to tell you how you do it. I'm going to tell you how you, as a leader in a church or a leader in a business or what have you, if you really want to be effective, if you really want to make an impact, if you really want to leave your mark on the world for the Lord Jesus, for his honor and glory, why don't you model after being a mom? Why don't you kind of look at what it means to be a mother? You know, as a husband of Les, and you know, we have, you know, three kids, and you know that, and not to bore you with all that, you know, I'll be honest, I stand amazed at my wife and what she does. And you know, Brother Tommy Noah has given me a lot of good advice over the years, and one of the greatest advices he gave me, I remember he said to me years ago, and I've since used it with my kids, my boys, to be honest. And here's the advice, and this may help you. You may want to take notes on this. My boys, and this per Tommy Nolan, I use a lot. My boys one time, they were, I know you find this hard to believe, but they were arguing with each other, kind of, you know what I mean? Well, I was in the living room, and their mom was in the kitchen. And then Leslie, she kind of got a little irritated. So I said, fellas, come here. So they came out, and I said, hey, boys, this was several years ago. I said, you see that little woman in the kitchen there? I said, who is that? And they said, that's Mom. I said, no. I said, that's my wife. And I said, fellas, this is Tom and Owen. I use this. I said, fellas, I said, Toby Cameron, I said, here's a little secret. I said, if Mom gets upset, Dad gets upset. You know, I didn't even have to expound on that anymore. They knew. So we'll be driving every night, and we'll be driving, and I'll just simply say, fellas, what's the rule? Yeah, I know, Dad. If Mom gets upset, Dad gets upset. Yeah, let me say it like one comedian says it. If Mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right? Ain't nobody happy. But Paul really wants to speak in. He wants to honor the mom. And we're going to dig in, and we'll say a few things about this morning. Notice her gentleness. Notice the gentleness of a mom. Think with me for a moment, maybe your mother growing up. Think with me for a moment, maybe you as a mom today. You know, I honestly mean this. I'm intrigued at the gentleness that my wife has as a mom. You know, as a dad, I'm not too gentle. I mean, I break things, and you know, if I can't fix it, you know, get a bigger hammer, right? Well, the gentleness of a mother, and Paul says this. You want to be a good mom, have a gentleness about you. He says in verse 7, but we were gentle among you. Even as a nurse, literally a nursing mom, cherisheth. Look at this. She cherisheth her children. Boy, I tell you, what an amazing picture that is, isn't it? Oh, the tenderness and the gentleness, getting ahead of myself, the gentleness of that mom with that baby. I tell you, I've said this to you before on Mother's Day. I do not understand. I believe 100% that it is a God-given innate desire for a woman to want her baby. You know, as far as I don't understand parents who abandon their kids. I've never understood that. It's not natural. It really truly isn't. It isn't normal. It isn't natural for a mom to want to abandon that child. No, the natural instinct is to want to nurture that child and feed that child and be with that baby. And I'll tell you something else, and I joked about it, but serious on this for a minute. When our youngins were small, when our babies were small, they would cry at night. I got to confess my sin. Sometimes I would hear them, and I wouldn't move, brother. Amen, Brother Ryan. I wouldn't blink my eyes. And then Les would jump up and she'd say, oh, the baby's crying. I'm like, as only once she was out of bed, I'd say, oh, honey, you want me to get the baby? I'm confessing my sin. And she, trust me, she knew I was doing that. And, but you know, I remember the gentleness. And she would grab our babies, and you know, as she was getting, you know, preparing to feed them, and she would grab our babies, and I'm thinking to myself, this child has interrupted your sleep. It didn't matter. She would grab the baby up, and I would watch her. And Paul's saying that here. Paul says, let me tell you what our desire. Here's what we want you to understand. Here's our heart before God, church at Thessalonica. We were. Paul says, here's how we treated you. Here's what our leadership was. And he says, he doesn't use Moses to illustrate it. He doesn't use David to illustrate it. He doesn't use some general who's a conquering general in the army of the Israelites. He doesn't use any of those. And you would think, I mean, as a man, if you're going to illustrate what it means to be a powerful leader, he doesn't use anybody, but he reaches deep. He reaches into perhaps the most special thing he can do. Mom. He said, we were gentle among you. Like a nursing mother is with her baby. That's the way we were with you. The gentleness of mom. Can you picture the mother as she, when our kids were small, and Leslie still does this. She, you know, it's true. I'm telling you, it is true. And Dad, you know this. You know, if anybody messes with the babies, right? I don't care how old they are. If anybody messes with babies, they get Mama Grizzly Bear. How many of you remember, I watched this the other day, I think it was on Facebook, it was a little video. How many of you remember Ken Griffey Jr.? Remember Ken Griffey Jr.? Well, that's four of us. He was a phenomenal baseball player. His dad, Ken Griffey Sr., played for the Reds. And Ken Griffey Jr. went to Seattle and he had a stint with the Reds and all that. Well, they were in, I think it was Ken Griffey Jr. They were interviewing him and they were talking to him about Mother's Day and he was talking about his mom. And he said, yeah, my mom. He said, my dad was tough. He said, well, my mom was tougher. It's not that way in my home. I'm tougher. Yeah, right. But anyway. He says, you know, when my mom, he said, when I was in Little League, he said, I was pitching. And he said, my mom was in the stands. He said, well, the whole time I'm pitching, there was another mother in the stands that was heckling Ken Griffey Jr. She was from the other team. And she was heckling Ken Griffey Jr. and saying mean things. And finally, his mom had all she could stands and can't stands no more like Popeye, right? And she yells out of the stands, Kenny, hit the next batter. Yeah. Hit the next batter. He said, so I wasn't going to disobey my mom. I beamed the guy. And his mom in the stands, his mom looked over at that lady. She says, said another word and we'll hit another one. And the funny thing was, Ken Griffey tells the story, he says, and the funny thing was, he said, literally, just within the last few years now, he said he went to his cousin's house for a party, and he said that boy was there that he hit years before. And the boy said, I was the kid you hit that day in the baseball time. He goes, I'm so sorry, man, I had to do what my mama told me to do. You know, hit him, Kenny, hit him, and he hit him. You know, it's funny because in our home, I remember a couple years ago, Toby and Cameron were playing basketball. And I'm really getting away from the message because we're talking about the gentleness of a mom. But Leslie, me and my father-in-law was driving up to the game, and it's way up. I think it was up by Saginaw. And Leslie couldn't make it for the game, and she had another commitment. But she sent me a text, and I quote, Bill, she sent me a text, and she said, tell Cameron to be aggressive. And I quote, she says, and tell Toby no stupid passes. She said that in a text. So I said, I'm not telling these boys that. So I ended up telling them after the game because I didn't want to put that pressure on my precious babies. But the gentleness of a mom. Yeah, but here's the thing. The gentleness as far as when they're little. I mean, husbands and I mean dads that are in this room. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say the word amen today. Some of you men don't normally do that. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Because if you don't say it, you're going to be in trouble when you get home. Fellas, when your kids are young, and maybe your kids aren't young, but maybe they're older now, and maybe they're having babies of their own. Don't you stand in awe. I'm serious about this. Aren't you intrigued? Don't you stand in awe at the gentleness your wife has with those babies? Some of you are a little slow on it. You know what that meant? You got an elbow. Everybody else around you, amen. And you kind of looked around and you got, you know, ladies, if you hit this third rib, it's an amen rib is what this is. So if you hit it watch, amen. Amen. It works. I'm telling you, it works. And the gentleness. The word gentle here, I love word studies and I love the meaning of this. It means to be kind to someone. It encompasses a host of their virtues. Here's what it encompasses. It encompasses acceptance, respect, compassion, tolerance of imperfections, patience, tenderheartedness, loyalty. Paul says, we were gentle among you. You know, a mom, what the amazing thing of a mom. As a nursing mother, she tenderly cares for her own children. Paul is saying, I attempt to exhibit the same feelings as a nursing mother when I care for the church's spiritual needs. To some, this would appear, as one writer writes, he says, to some, this would appear weak or unproductive. The standard for self-centered leadership is to accomplish the leader's desires through people. In the church, leaders have the privilege of seeing things God desires done in people. That changes the dynamic. He then goes on. He uses the word cherisheth. It means to tenderly care for. It literally means, so we see the gentleness of mom, but we see the tenderness of mom as well. The word, this word pictures with it, it means to warm with body heat. Opposite of harsh or indifferent, but tenderly nurturing. A mom cherisheth. She warms, if you will, with her body heat. You know, when our kids, and to watch my wife and how she interacts with our babies, and you do know this, and I use this, Cameron's 6'5", Ashley's 21, Toby's 16, but you do know this, right? They will always be our babies, right? They'll always be our babies. You say, preacher, yeah, but don't you want them to grow up and eventually, what, leave my home? Yeah. Yeah. I hear parents all the time, they're like, oh, no. You say, preacher, what's the goal for your kids? To get them out of our home. Right? We got traveling to do, right? It's a lot cheaper without these heathens. They eat you out of house and home, man. I promise a true story. My wife, and where's Toby? Is Toby outside smoking again? Pray for him. It's awful. Again, my boys are huge, and you know, they're growing, and they're eating us out of house and home. And now the Mabry boys, we just rolled them right in there. They eat us out of house and home. I went to get a glass of milk the other day, and the milk was gone. It's awful. It was awful. You know what's worse than the milk being gone? I want to confess my sin. You know what? You know where I'm going with this. My therapist has helped me right now with this because this is awful. You know what's worse than coming to a fridge and there's no milk in there at all? What's worse is when there's about a millisecond, a millimeter of milk. It's like drip. You know what I mean? Like, why would you do that? It's just awful. It's terrible. Then you got to pour the cereal back in the box. It's brutal. And you got to resort to plan B, which is ice cream. So, I mean, it's terrible. Right? Can I get a witness in this room? Did you know the men didn't amen that, but the ladies did? They were scared to. I'm telling you, I just heard that. It was, don't you talk about my babies. The gentleness of mom. You want to be a good leader? Have a gentle spirit about you. You want to be a good leader? Have a tender spirit about you. Say, preacher, you're just totally taking the masculinity out of our church. No. Paul's using it now. Paul's giving us an example of leadership. You want to be a good leader? Just watch a mom. I watch these moms. I watch them when they come in and they get their babies. You know, it's hilarious. What's hilarious is to watch, and I'm almost done, just a couple of minutes. But what's hilarious to watch is when couples are dating and then they get engaged, then they get married. Man, they got all kinds of zeal, right? They got all kinds of zeal. They come into the church, they're happy. They're coming to church. They're usually early. They're smiling. But then kids come along. They come sliding into the parking lot 1 minute before church starts. They get out. They got diaper bags. They're dragging the kids. Their hair is half, you know, half parted. I'm talking about the ladies. Their hair is all over the mat. Right? You say, Mother's Day, preacher, you insult women every Mother's Day. I'm talking about the other church. I saw it at the other church parking lot down the road. You got to be quicker on your feet. But kids change us, right? Now, let me just caution you, though. As wonderful and honestly as a blessing that kids are, parents, let me help you with something. The greatest thing, dads, the greatest thing, and I've said this for years, the greatest thing you can do for your kid's mother is love her unconditionally and show it and tell her that. And really, I mean, honestly, and trust me, I'm preaching this to me too, because sometimes I can kind of throw it in the autopilot. And my cousin Doug, he doesn't have a brain cell in his head. You know, pray for Doug. He's got a big head, too, but I tell you, he doesn't have any sense. And he said one time, yeah. And he has a bald head, too. It's brutal. But anyway, he said one time, Trina is his wife. And Trina, I was there. I promise you, it's a true story. And Trina, I know he got it from somebody else, but I'm telling you, he said this. So Trina was saying, Doug doesn't ever tell me he loves me anymore. Did you notice my hillbilly kicked in right there? I used the word doesn't. Doug doesn't say he loves me anymore. He does not say he loves me anymore. And Doug's response was, Trina, I told you when we got married I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Oh, Lord, have mercy. She just woke up. I don't know who in the world what she's talking about. It's 2007. She's stuck in 1999. It's awful. I have no idea what that was. All right, let's bring it in. Let's finish this up. Look at verse 8. So we see the gentleness of mom. We see the tenderness of mom. Notice the sacrifice of mom. The sacrifice of a mom. Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you. Boy, that's a mom. Mom has affection for the baby, don't they? I tell you, they have love. They have a yearning for that child. You remember, let's go back in our minds. You remember the first time? And by the way, the Bible supports, the Bible tells us, and the Bible absolutely illustrates perfectly that life begins at conception, and we know that. We know that. I mean, we live in a very ungodly world, but we know biblically life begins at conception. And you remember the first time you heard the heartbeat of your baby? You remember the ultrasound? And the dads, we know what the dads were hoping for, but you remember the ultrasounds? You remember as they measured, I remember Cameron, they measured his thigh bone. It was this long on that ultrasound. You know, there's something special. And I've watched, and I'm just using my own life, and you could do the same, but I watched my wife, and my wife, and biblically, and Paul said this, you know, affectionately desire, right? Look at that. Affectionately, verse 8, desirous of you. Oh, man, there's something special about mom. She loves her babies, and it's an innate desire of God. I really truly believe that. It's an innate desire of God to be desirously affectionate toward the kids. Man, they have, there's something special about it. Just a couple months ago, and again, my kids, Cameron's graduating this year, senior, Toby a sophomore, and Leslie, she says, honey, she says, oh, I just got so much to do. Fellas, maybe you have the same videotape. She goes, I got so much to do. And I said, what you got to do, babe? She said, well, I got to do this and this and this. I got to wash the kids' clothes. She said, I got to make their lunches. I said, babe, make their lunches? Yeah, I got to make their lunches. I'm like, he's 18. He's 16. She goes, and then she got defensive. She goes, well, I like doing it. I'm like, here's $20. You know what I mean? Get them salami. I mean, no more peanut butter and jelly. I mean, we want the best for Buttercup. Get them the best. You know why? You know why? Biblically? She's desirously affectionate for our kids. I'm grateful to God for that. I'm grateful to God. And I said to her, I said to Leslie, and we had determined we weren't going to have any more children, but God had another plan. And we have some, we have the Mabry boys, and they've been a blessing, and we've been trying to encourage them and speak in their life. And I've shared this with you before, and pray for us. It looks possibly like we will be getting my niece and two nephews, and their ages are 10, 8, and 6. Can I get a witness in the building? So we'll go from 16 to 6, and we'll see how that plays out. But you pray for us, and they're in foster care right now, and we're trying to intervene in their life there, and I know you will. But let's end this up. We see her sacrifice. Look what it says in verse 8. He says, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. And by the way, that's significant, right? Not the God. They don't. Paul says, you know, we're willing to give you a sermon. But more importantly, look at this. not the gospel of God only. He's talking about a mom now, but also our own souls. Because you are dear unto us. He's using the illustration of a mom. Paul says, we were willing to give you a sermon, and we did that. But like a mom, we were willing to give you our soul. We were willing to sacrifice. He goes on, he says in verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be charged on any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God, the labor and travail. And there is indeed labor and travail when they're pregnant and they eventually give birth and labor. And I was talking to I think it was Rebecca and Andrew, and they were talking about her sister, and 20-something hours of labor. And mercy sakes. I called the hospital. I said, meet me in the parking lot with an epidural. Got to calm them down. He said, preacher, what's your point? You know, I watched my wife's face. When our babies were born, they came out and they cried for the first time. I promise you this. And I know it wasn't, but perception, I promise you this. I watched my wife's face the minute she held her baby. It was like, and I know it wasn't, but it was like all the pain was gone. All the pain, all the travail, all the labor. It was all worth it because of the gift that she now had. You want to be a good leader? Have tenderness, have gentleness, have a spirit of sacrifice, be desirously affectionate. You want to be a good leader? You want to be a good dad? Look at the mom. Stand with me, please, for an invitation. If you're here today, and first and foremost, if you're here today, sweet friend, and do not know Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you right where you are to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm not where I need to be. I don't have a church home, but I want a church home. Hey, our doors are wide open. We are grateful to God for how the Lord has blessed and this year and baptisms this year and additions this year. We are grateful to God for that. So maybe that's your desire. Maybe your desire today, say, preacher, I'll be honest. Today is a sad day because I miss my mom. And I know for many in this room that is the case. Many watching by internet, that is the case. But maybe today would be a day where you just kind of pause and remember and be thankful for what God allowed your mom to teach you and what God allowed your mom to pour into you. I tell you, I'm grateful to God for my mother who raised me as a young child, and then my grandmother kind of took me in as an elementary child and raised me. And I'm grateful for those two ladies. My granny's in heaven, of course, but I'm grateful for what they did for me as a child and my raising as a teen and all that. I tell you, friend, maybe have a mom say, preacher, what do I do if my mom's alive today? Call her and tell her thank you. Call and tell her thank you. Tell her you love her and pray for her. You say, preacher, what can I do for my wife? She struggles sometimes. It's really a tasking time. Be more in the life, right? Try to alleviate some of the stressors for your wife. Help her out, and that'll help you. So, all right, maybe you need to come to the altar and just pray. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for your family. We give you an opportunity to do that. Pray